Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, home of Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. Let me tell you something, man. One of the things that I also get to be a benefactor of when I have people on this show is I get to be enriched and enlightened, too, with all my audience and all you guys that get to hear all these great guests that we have from coast to coast and around the world. It feeds my soul, too. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of strange having a new person in your home every other night that you don't really know. And then there are nights like this. There are nights like this where I've been talking to this brother for hours, seems like, today. And it's not a stranger. He's not a stranger. He's actually a brother, friend, longtime friend. And he has done some amazing things in many industries, built a tremendous, tremendous business. And he also is unashamed of success. He's not afraid of it. He's not ashamed of it. And he teaches people how to do it if you listen to him. And so my friend, who hails from, I think, the city that I'm in now, he's my homeboy. We go way back. We go back 22 years. And really, we look a whole lot better now than we did 22 years ago. But this brother has inspired me more in our absence than he has in our presence, because like we just said a few minutes ago to each other, we watch people, and I've watched his life and how he's got down, how he's moved, and how he's navigated. And I said, man, you know what? I've been begging him to come on the show for like 3 or 4 years. And so I finally talked to his agent and, you know, slipped him a couple hundred. And I got my friend, the man, the myth, and legend, my homeboy, Dante Holt, on Impacting Life 24/7. Welcome, Dante.
Yo, what's up, bro?
Man, I tell you what, this is like a good old family reunion, isn't it, brother?
It is, man. Don't even feel like work.
That's what I love about it, when you can have the brotherhood that you and I have that goes back a long, long time.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited, man.
Yeah.
So excited just to see you, bro.
Yeah, I know, man. You cock diesel, but I'm not nearly as skinny as I was back then, brother.
Somebody's eating good, bro. That's just good living, bro. That's just good living. You could be suffering like me and drinking beet juice.
Yeah.
So, count your blessings.
Right.
Count your blessings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, listen, Dante, one of the reasons why I had you on, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but the primary reason is because you're my friend and you're my brother.
Indeed.
And we go so far back. And so, listen, before we get started into whatever we're going to talk about, because, man, folks, y'all, me and Dante talked earlier today, and we just talked about everything. We solved world hunger.
They missed the show.
Man, they missed the show, brother. We should have recorded that one.
We
was in our flow then, baby. So tell our guests a little bit about yourself, brother. Just give us a quick resume about Dante Holt. What's your background, bro?
Hey, man, it is, my background, man, it's very simple. Come from very humble beginnings, man, right there in Eastern North Carolina. Actually, New Bern, North Carolina, man, home of Pepsi.
Oh.
I always throw that in there. And people go, oh, wow, Pepsi.
Yeah.
Unless you're on the, it really goes over well when you're on the West Coast.
But, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Until they look it up on their map and can't find it. It's like, where's New Bern? Come up, man. Great family, man. My late mother and father. I have brothers and sisters, man. 6 of us, 4 boys, 2 girls. My father's kids, man. And I just grew up, man. Very humble life, man. Moved forward, man. Started getting my legs up under me as a young man, venturing out. Military life.
You did the Army, right?
I was Corps, man. Actually, I was with your brothers first.
Oh, I thought you...
I went with the Army now.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah. When we was together, we were four. That's right, Dante.
Yeah. We were changing lives back then, bro.
Yes. Okay. Don't let that secret out yet.
I ain't let it out. But yeah. So, you know, fast forward, man. You know, one thing sort of led to another, man. You know yourself, I was in the, I did a music thing for a while, man, a struggling musician who later on, man, sort of got my wings and got to do some pretty awesome things, work with some pretty awesome people, pretty amazing talent, did a lot of music, did some recording, producing, and that just spun off into this whole entertainment entertainment umbrella that we have today, which spun from me doing stand up. Some people know me from comedy. A lot of people know me from comedy, and as a promoter in the industry. So, that just blew up, and you know, we're here today, man. You know, I look back at it, man. It's been a blur. It's been a blur.
Yeah.
But it's been good. It's been good. It's been awesome, man. You know, a lot of work. I give a lot of credit, man, to my upbringing.
Right.
You know, my father instilled a lot of good values and work ethics. And that's what I've applied to every facet of my life, man. No matter what I come across or what obstacle I face, those core values, man, sort of just been with me this whole time, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just loving what I do, man, and loving the moment, man. Just living it 100, you know. I don't leave nothing out there, bro. I'm just going hard in every angle, man.
Well, Dante, we got First Sergeant Curtis Bigelow. I'm actually wearing his shirt. He's looking at us online. He gave me this shirt. He was a guest of ours, and this is his little motto right here. Boom.
Boom.
And so I told it's funny because, you know, when you did your live the other day about haters, Curtis did a live, and you guys aren't in the same circle. Curtis did a live about haters too. And I said, dude, I'm doing a show about haters with my boy. I had to give him some love and wear his shirt tonight. So
I hear you, Curtis.
Yeah. So
I want one of those shirts, by the way, too.
Yeah. You know,
I'm a t-shirt junkie, man.
I told him that I wanted an extra large, but
I see you got your son's shirt on. That's cute, man.
I'm showing my guns off, boy.
Is that little Chris Junior?
So and listen, and of course Gunny Smith, my VP Greg Smith is on here. You know, he retired Gunny. All these retired folks on here.
Retired people.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So listen,
I can get somewhere in retirement.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
I need to know what the secret is, dude. I can't give it up. I'm still running the gunny, man.
Here's the deal, Dante. Well, a lot of people don't know. Back in 1997, 98 time frame, our path, and that's a long time, brother, our paths crossed at a little place in New Bern. They called it Day Treatment.
if you
remember, brother.
Day Treatment.
And Dante and I got together there. We were helping some young people, some at-risk youth that a lot of people had given up on, a lot of society had turned their back on, and they had these two young brothers there that they said, can you put these kids through a boot camp? Do you remember that, Dante?
Oh yeah, man. 5 a.m. man, old dark 30.
We was killing it, brother.
We're the only cats that was having detention before school.
Yeah.
we created before school detention,
man. It was so
I got one better.
What?
Do you remember this? Do you remember the one kid, he had the before school detention like 3 days in a row, and we would go and pick him up from the home? Because nobody would, we actually went and got this kid. He wore the same clothes for like 3 days.
Oh,
we were so tired.
Yes, you're right. I remember.
Yeah,
man. That,
yeah.
And you know, we joke and we laugh because it was so fun, because Dante, former Marine, and King, a former Marine, we were just living out our boot camp dreams on these kids. I tell you what, man, I think back, I'm like, man, if that was 2020, we would have got sued and been in jail.
We violated those kids' rights, man.
Man, we went ballistic, man. We went old core on them.
I'm waiting for those commercials, one of those lawsuit commercials.
Yeah. So one of the things that brought us together was, you know, helping those young people. And Dante has always had a heart for helping people. But it wasn't always easy working with those kids, was it?
Oh, no, man. Oh, no, not at all, man. You know, they were dealing with a lot of underlying and internal issues, man, that we honestly, we just didn't have the resources to help them, some of those kids, you know, the way they needed help. You know, some of them, I think we were able to reach the ones who were on the surface of those issues, but a lot of them, man, whoo.
Yeah.
You know, I had one kid, man, break glass in my face. One kid bit my thumb, man. Remember that?
Yes.
He bit my thumb.
You showed a lot of restraint both times, brother.
Yeah. Because you can't punch a kid.
No.
You can't put a kid in a chokehold like you want to.
Well, you know, the crazy.
Not that I would.
I remember that moment vividly, because Dante was standing on the outside of the window and the kid was on the other side, and he punched the glass and it went.
The glass. Man.
Yeah, man. I was just like,
That was real glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Industrial glass.
Bro. And you know,
I just like the way those behavioral kids have superhuman strength.
They do.
Yeah.
You know, the sad part is that there was one kid in particular that Dante and I tried to help. In fact, I think I gave Chris a lot of my uniforms back when I was skinny.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris was there, and we tried to really help that young kid. He had been in, I think, over 15 foster homes, brother. And
wow.
he was on a bunch of psychotropic medication. Well, in 2000,
wow.
In 2006, right there in your hometown, New Bern, right in the middle of the projects, another student that I used to teach wound up stabbing him. So,
wow.
Yeah, it wound up stabbing Chris and killing him right there in the middle of the projects in 2006.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man,
and here's what I say to you, Dante. We talked about this off air, and this might be our first step in this conversation, but the system failed them, brother.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and we've heard it time and time again, man, and a lot of people get tired of hearing it, but honestly, man, we had, the system failed those kids, man. We as a village, we failed those kids, man, because a lot of the behavior and things that we saw was just a reflection of what they deal their everyday was.
Right.
You know, we mentored those kids probably 10 hours a day at the most, but you got another 14 hours of chaos,
right,
and problems that they're dealing with every day. So yeah, man, the system, you know, funding wasn't there,
right.
You know, the adequate, arrangements and planning. It's just we did the best that we could as young men who were eager to get out there and do whatever, because we didn't, honestly, man, people don't know, man, we weren't making money.
No,
we didn't make any
money. We were making pennies, brother.
Pennies doing that, man. And we were there from 5 a.m. until a lot of days.
Right.
And, because we wanted what was best for those young men. And, you know, we see it every day, man. The system is so flawed with how we deal with these children and these at-risk youth. It's very disheartening. Disheartening.
And you know that
to hear that kid passing.
Yeah, that was tough for me, man. Mm-hmm. And I think Leinster, your cousin Strayhorn, Pastor Strayhorn, he went to the funeral. It broke my heart because I thought about it. I said, man, you know, I was that kid, you know, foster home, group home, exact same pathway. And, you know, what happened is he aged out. So we just, and this is why I left mental health and I'm going to be having some mental health guests on here in the future, but this is why I left mental health because I felt, Dante, that we kept them sick enough so we could continue to build Medicaid, but never got them well enough so they could get on off of Medicaid.
Say that again, bro.
Yeah, and that's why I left. That's why I left that whole arena because I'm just like, okay, y'all want these kids to be sick enough so y'all can continue to write these fake notes that you're not really doing the stuff you say you're intervening on and billing Medicaid, but you don't want them to be well enough to get out here and learn how to trade, get a job, and get off of the system. We didn't equip those kids for that, so we kept them, we nudged them along until they were old enough and we couldn't bill for them no more, and then we kicked them out the nest, and then, you know, 2 or 3 years later, Chris is getting stabbed to death in the projects.
Right. You're absolutely right, man. And to your point, that is the system. Everybody's a number. Everybody's a check as long as they're of age.
Right.
And they can, you know, we can benefit from it. You know, there's no real therapy. Nobody's really dealing with the issues.
Right.
These kids, they see therapists, but they see people who don't understand their culture.
Right. Oh, yeah. We saw that in that time frame, too. Yeah.
Right. They, you know, what a lot of people saw as bad behavior, we saw as a real cry for help.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the system. The system, you know, they don't want to cure you. You know, you see more kids now on medication, Ritalin. You know, I remember back then, elementary kids were recommended to be on Ritalin for their behaviors, man. I'm just like, Ritalin?
Yeah.
You know, you gonna put him on. Man, let me tell you something. I had all the Ritalin I need at home. If I came home from school with one of those little notes,
yeah,
and I wasn't the smartest kid back then either, because I thought those notes, to get one of those notes was a big deal.
Right.
But the teachers bamboozled me and then stapled those notes to my shirt. And I would take it home and it'd be something bad, man. And I got Ritalin right there.
You got the full dose, didn't you, boy?
I got my full dose of Ritalin, man, you know. And, it was one of those things you had to adapt and go, you know what? Every time I do this, I go home and I get Ritalin.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And it's funny. So, yeah. It's a trip, Dante, because remember back in the, I know they sent the notes home, but it always seemed like you could never subvert the distance between the school and the house. It always seemed like the message got to them. And this was before cell phones and texting and all that kind of stuff. But somehow the message got to mama.
Oh, yeah. They can sense it, dude. Let me tell you something. As soon as they say it could be, you could have gotten to school at 8:30.
Right.
And at 8:35, you got in trouble. It ruins your whole day.
Oh, that's it.
You at recess. You don't want to play ball. You don't want to color. You don't want to do nothing, man. Because back then there was a village.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
On the most serious note, there was a village, bro.
Right.
I look at society today, with even like with police officers. We knew the police officers in our neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't take you to jail. They didn't threaten you with beating you with a nightstick or handcuffing you. The first thing they would say is with me was, hey, you Paul's boy, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's all he needed to say, right?
I needed. You know, that was a community. I mean, that's right. Why the word spread it. The lunchroom lady.
Right.
You know what I mean? She wasn't, she took authority in you being a child, and hey, I would tell your mother.
Yes.
I will handle you and then tell your mother.
Yes.
So we've gotten away from that, man. The village is has been disbanded, man, and now is, you know, don't talk to my child like that.
Right.
Kids got say in how they move, and you know, it's all about how we feel, bro.
Man,
it's
all about how we feel. Listen, I love it, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know, those of you joining me on Impacting Life 24/7, I have as my guest Dante Holt, my longtime friend, philanthropist, business owner, comedian, producer. The man has got a whole full smorgasbord of stuff that he does and is continuing to do. Like he said, we're both 45 years old and he just cannot put the hammer down. So, you know, oh, brother, that's okay, man. I look better though. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, bro. Hey. I'm holding it in the road for 45.
Yeah. What'd you say?
You know what I mean? I'm holding it down for 45.
That's right, brother. That's right. So, one of the things that really started this conversation, and I love all of my guests. All of my guests are unique. But I knew that Dante, just like you guys see when I have Tabari on, it's more of a conversation than it is an interview. And I want to share people who have insights that maybe, you know, we don't have. Or maybe we have and we just are too afraid to say them out loud. And so Dante, the other day, he was in, I believe he was in the gym pumping like 450 or something like that. Was that a little low?
It was 550.
Oh, okay. My this dude's a clown. So he was in the gym and sometimes that's the best time to expel a thought is, you know, after you put some work in. And he said that really caught me, and I said, man, I'm gonna do a show on it. I don't care if it makes people mad, we're gonna do a show on it, brother. That he said, some of y'all out here are being handcuffed by your haters, talking about you have haters and now you know you can't make moves and all this kind of stuff. And Dante went through this whole articulation of, really, do haters really got that much stock in your life? And I said, man, brother, you are talking about it. So I'm gonna give you a couple minutes now. Don't do what I told you that one guest did. Don't say it out loud, brother. don't do that. Look. You remember, okay? Okay, don't touch.
I'll leave that for a show. Bro.
That's another day.
Thank you.
But I'm gonna give you the mic. I'm gonna give you the mic, brother, and I'm gonna let you just co-host for a minute. I want you to talk and just give us the abridged version of what you laid out in terms of haters and what we really need to know about it, brother. The platform is yours.
Appreciate it. And all actuality, man. You know, what I was covering in my thought process when I was working out, when I work out, I sort of scroll through social media, see what's happening, check on my friends or people that I sort of keep up with, follow. And what I was noticing, man, it was a lot of mentioning of haters, you know, using the term, you know, repeatedly. And I said all throughout the day, I'm just like, wow. And then what threw me was a lot of these people I just seen was just like, you know, on top of the world, and, you know, Lord, you know, I'm seeing this fluctuation of emotions, seem like. And so what I recognize, I'm like, man, this hater thing is sort of trending. And we as a culture now, that's how we roll. You know, everything that's trending, we sort of follow it. We get on board with it. It doesn't have to make sense, obviously.
Right.
A couple of years ago, we had people setting themselves on fire in bathtubs. So trending doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah.
It just has to feel good.
Right.
And so I what I noticed, man, it was, you know, this trend of people, you know, mentioning haters, I'm not, you know, if I'm not successful, as I want to be, or I'm not as productive as I want to be. I'm not in the limelight the way I want to be. It's all because of haters. Mm. And what I noticed is people jump on board with it. Everybody, you know, empathizes and sympathizes when you're in that when you jump in that arena or in that trend. But the reality is what I'm seeing is the hater fairies don't exist.
He said the hater fairies, y'all.
I call them hater fairies. Hey, you know, it's like the tooth fairy.
Right.
You know, the hater fairies don't exist. The reason we are not as successful as we'd like to be, and if we be honest and do real inventory and be transparent, it's because we're not putting in the work.
Oh, my.
We're not as prepared as we claim to be. We're not all in. Mm. We're not sold out to the idea of the sacrifices and the work. And I think that's what throws a lot of people is we have great ideas, we have great visions, dreams, but it never comes together without the work.
Right.
So when we don't add up to what it is we presented to the world, it's because of the haters. I'm not where I am because of the haters. And so my answer to that is, ask yourself, how many times has a hater kept you from being successful?
Mm.
How many times has a hater kept you from writing a book?
Right.
How many times has a hater literally stopped you from going to an audition or a tryout or just meeting to put your business plan together? Honestly, right. How many times has a hater, someone really stopped you from doing what you're supposed to do? And when you look at it, the answer is none. I look at my life and where I am today is based off of one, having a vision.
Right.
You know, two, preparation, and work.
Yeah.
My work ethic is everything. There's nobody, I'll tell anybody, there's no promoter, there's nobody that's going to outwork me when it comes to this industry or me putting things together. There's nobody. I tell people all the time, there's 24 hours in a day. There's 24 hours in a day. My normal routine, if I drop a show, I'm 60 days out. 60 days out. 45 of those days, I'm grinding.
Promoting.
45 days straight. And I may sleep 3 or 4 hours a night. You know, I'm right back at it. I'm putting flyers out. I'm selling tickets. I have Eventbrite running and I'm running tickets. Right. I don't care where I am. If I'm at dinner and you call and you want 20 tickets, I'm meeting you in the parking lot like the weed man. I'm bringing those tickets like I'm selling drugs.
Right, right.
Yeah, I meet you in a dark alley with a paper bag full of tickets. But
it's going to be tickets, y'all. It's going to be tickets. It ain't going to be a nickel bag.
It ain't going to be a nickel bag, so don't call me. But, so at the end of the day, man, and you know what, King, nobody has ever stopped me. Nobody has ever stood out in front of my car when I went to go sell a ticket.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody's ever stopped me when I went to the radio station. There was no haters. The times I did not, and I'm being transparent, it took me to get to this point, I had to deal with all of the things that I was not good at.
Ooh, okay.
I had to be transparent.
Yeah.
I had to be honest.
Right.
Because we have a tendency to see ourselves in a light, especially in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
And people start saying your name a little bit more, get the whispers about your name, and you get out there. You have the tendency to see yourself as this big person.
Right.
And even with me gaining recognition in certain areas, there was a lot I had to work on.
And you, let me just stop you there, Dante, because oftentimes when you are in this grind, because I'm 100% with you, when you're in this grind, man, it was the same thing with me. I started seeing my name on marquees, and I'm thinking, man, I'm popping my suspenders. I am the man. Until I realized I ain't nearly nowhere the man that I could be. And refining yourself and being transparent and saying, hey, look, there's some things I'm not good at. There's some things I need to work on. There's some things I need to refine because I can't. Here's what I found in the podcast world. You can wing it for a while when it's just me and my when it's just me and my homeboy. When it's just me and DT, I can wing a podcast. But, man, when I bring somebody on with triple PhDs that's going to talk about, I can't wing it no more. I better have my act together. And I realized, I realized I had to refine myself even as a podcaster, yo. And people resist that. Why do you feel they resist it? Because it requires you to go to a place that maybe you have kept latent all these years and never wanted to deal with.
I mean, it's the ugly truth, but it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, I had to, dig deep, man. And, you know, and I tell everybody, man, a lot of times we're not where we want to be, man, because of internal issues.
Right.
You know, and what we don't see a lot of times, even as an entertainer or performer, when those internal issues flare up, man, it overshadows what you're doing sometimes. People see that they can see through the act, so to speak.
Right.
And I've noticed that with some of my partners in the industry, man, because life happens and that's real, but you know, back to, us dealing with the whole trend of haters, we give too much credit to that and we don't pay enough attention to what's going on with us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I take time to, because all people can do is talk.
That's it.
That's it. You know, you ain't come. I'm 220, 225 on a good day.
Right.
You ain't come. You're not coming to see me any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? We know what I do.
Right.
So
yeah.
At the end of the day, ain't nobody coming to see me. Right. So for me to take time, man, and focus away from my craft or building my business is stupid. For you to take time away from building your dream or your working your plan to go, what is he saying over there?
Yeah.
Because that's all the power that a hater has.
Right.
It's talk.
And some people can get magnetized by that and totally lose their whole entire focus on what they think people are thinking about them or saying.
But the only way you can do that, honestly, the only way you get magnetized and lose your focus is because you're not completely focused or sold out to what it is.
You know
your flaws.
Right.
So if I'm not sold out or I'm not prepared, you know, I came out there and I did the absolute minimum, bare minimum. And somebody started talking, it is not so much them, it's the guilt.
Right.
Everybody has it. Everybody's their own worst critic.
Right.
Everybody, you can find the most beautiful woman in the world and she knows her flaws.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So what makes them uncomfortable is when they stop talking. When people start talking, then they start looking to see what flaws that they've unearthed.
Right.
Versus you knowing what you have to work on as an individual. You know, so you can't lose focus, man, and you really have to dig deep and work on yourself. Work on yourself.
Well, you know, Dante, that is so good. I love the we gotta have a meme of some sort with the hater fairies, because you know what, there is no such thing, man.
There's no such thing as hater fairies, man.
Well, watch this now, Dante. What people don't know, and you guys who are tuning in, welcome everybody joining us, Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. I'm here live with my homeboy of 22, 23 years, Dante Holt, the man, the myth, and the legend, entertainer, business mogul, and laser-sharp focused tacticianer of all things tactical.
I like the way you put that.
Well, no, brother, that's why I flow off the dome, baby. Like Big Daddy Kane. Look, they keep hearing you talk about the industry, but they don't know, brother. So we're gonna peel back the onion a little bit, and we're gonna talk about how Dante Holt got, after you've done your music career and all that, you jumped into an industry that kind of morphed into this next industry. And I want you to tell us, because we're gonna unpack this in stages, but I want you to tell us how you got into the entertainment business and specifically what it is that you're in.
All right. Man, good story, man. I love telling this story because it's all about one brother just uplifting the man and believing in another. And that's none other than my man, Gene Wagnack, man. He's right there in your city. Wagon M Entertainment, you see him all over. He does sound and promotion for there at Camp Lejeune, man. He travels all over the globe, man. Good brother, just genuine, great friend. Man, I love him dearly. Just talked to him the other day, as a matter of fact, sending work this way. Always sends work, man. But the story, man, is just, you know, as a musician, I was blessed to meet some amazing people, grace some stages with some amazing talent. And Gene was always the guy that was sort of behind the scenes, whether he was promoting or being a sound engineer. And he's just a talker, man. He's a phenomenal talker. I think when I say talker, this guy is a linguist.
Okay.
He's like 8 different languages, and he was in the Corps.
Nice.
Also, but long story short, man, he comes up to me one day, is like, hey, man, I want you to MC this concert. And I'm like, all right, I'm a musician, but, you know, I'll do what I do. So in between me playing, I'm getting up. And like, bring it on the next act. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and everybody, like, people looking at me like, where you going? You know?
Get back on that keyboard, boy.
Yeah, right. Get back on the keys. But so I'm going back and forth, man. And so we get through the night, you know, people having a good time, obviously. And I'm thinking it's because the music is so great. You know, so yeah. He calls me a couple weeks later. He's like, yo, I want you to come and, host this show. And I'm like, I'm not playing on that. He's like, I know, you know, just come on and, you know, I'm going to pay you. You going to pay me?
Yeah.
All right, boom. So I'm there. You know, I trust him. You know, I get there, man. He gives me the outline and I'm winging it. I'm winging it. You know, I've never done this before in my life, man, other than, you know, up in church or whatever, but
right.
I'm winging it, man. And so one moving forward, he goes, comes off the stage that night, man, we were packing up, and he goes, man, you should think about doing comedy. And I'm like, bro, you tripping. I'm like, you out of your mind, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, because never, dude, never in a million years. That was not on my things to do list at all, ever, ever. And so he books another event, man. He's like, this time I want you to do time. I'm like, do time. He's like, yeah, I want you to, you know, give him 5 minutes. I'm like, yo, 5 minutes. So, dude, I'm home, man. I'm watching everybody. Dude, I'm watching Delirious.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy, Delirious. That's the first one came to my mind.
And you know I can't use none of that material.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, everybody, you know, and all I can remember, man, was while I'm doing this research and homework on comedy, everybody's just cursing.
Right.
Cursing. And I'm like, man, I can't, you know, that just, you know, that ain't my thing. So you know, but I create a format in my mind. I create a formula. And a lot of people, when they ask me, do I write? I don't really write. But I have a formula to how my outline of a show is.
Okay.
And it's sort of similar to most, and I'll tell you, it's sort of similar to how you would write a story, you know.
Yeah.
Introduction, the body, which is me sort of going back and forth. And because I always say introduction, and I feel like as a comic, you should introduce yourself to your crowd before you start telling jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You should, they should be comfortable. And you only have and believe it or not, you only have a few minutes to make that happen.
Right.
So, and if you notice, all the good comics are good at it.
Right.
You feel like you know this guy in 2 minutes.
Right.
And so, you know, I create this formula, man, and I come up with my best 5 minutes and I knock it out. So, you know, fast forward, man, I start getting booked, people asking me to come do birthday parties, baby christenings, family reunions. I did pageants. I did anniversaries. I did Klan rallies. No, I'm just kidding.
What'd you say? What'd you say? Praying rallies?
Klan rallies. KKK rallies.
Dante.
No, I did whatever I could.
He's
man.
A comedian, y'all.
I didn't turn down no work, bro. You know what I'm saying?
He said, I'll take it.
I'll take it. Okay, I just got to be out of there before yeah, everything
just before, kicks off. Before everything kick off, I got to go.
Yeah, mail me my check. Yeah, you can mail me my check. Yeah, but, you know, I just didn't turn nothing down, man.
Right.
I wanted to see how far I could go, you know?
Right.
And so fast forward, man, 2013, I went to this show here in Raleigh. It was the IJTE. It's Just That Easy to Laugh comedy tour.
Right.
Tim Schrock, who's a big Instagram mogul right now in comedy. He was the headliner. They had CRB, Calvin Boyd. They had Big Los, TJ Reed, Jonathan Walker. Just a great lineup, man. Great lineup. So I'm sitting out there in the audience, man, watching these brothers work. And I'm like, man, I like that. I like the vibe. It was a clean comedy tour.
Right.
So that was going to be a stretch for me. They kicked it off, man. And, you know, that night, and after that night, I went up to TJ Reed and I was like, hey, bro, you know, I do comedy, man. You know, I enjoyed y'all. Great lineup, man. Y'all killed it. You know, I do comedy. I just want to, if y'all ever got a show and you need somebody to open, you know, I'm that guy. I'm, you know, you ain't got to pay me. I just wanted to, you know, be a part, be around that type of environment.
Right.
Because it was different from what I had seen, you know, coming up.
Right.
And so long story short, man, you know how it is in any industry, when you don't have a name, you know, they sort of side eye the brother and, well, we don't really know you, haven't really heard you before.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know you. And in my mind, I was like, I didn't know y'all until tonight. So yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So, you know, yeah, there's that.
You know, so I had to be humble. And so fast forward, man, they actually called. And I never forget it. It was right after my father had died the year before, and this was the first Father's Day that I was going to, you know, have without my father being around. And they called to do a show that Father's Day weekend, that Saturday,
mm-hmm.
in Greensboro. They're like, hey, we need somebody to open. You know, I was like, all right, cool. You know, I asked for it, man. I ain't turning it down. So I went. A couple of friends of mine carried along. I think my cousin and a couple of friends. And so I went to the venue. I get there, and of course, I'm the opening act, so I don't get no love.
Right.
They just told me the guys were in the back. I go in the green room, and I never forget it, man. It's funny because these guys, I've never seen comics this serious before in my life. And they were like all meditating and doing yoga. Just in there. It's like weirdest thing ever. I'm used to going back there, man. There's yak, cognac, and cigars. And... so smoke and stuff. But right. These guys, man, it was a clean comedy tour. So, you know, they're in the back, man, you know, just getting their minds right. And so the manager at the time, D. Nicole, she comes in and she goes, you know, I don't know nothing about you. You know, what do you come out to? What's your music or whatever? I mean, you know, I'm old school. I hit her with some Frankie Beverly and Maze before I let go.
Because you
can do that anywhere.
Anywhere.
Any age, it don't matter.
Right.
It don't matter what the age. It doesn't matter, you know, funerals.
Right.
Granddaddy gone.
He already done let go, man.
Granddaddy gone. But
go ahead, man.
So I hit her with that, man. She's like, oh, you ain't got no bio. I'll just, you know, do whatever. So she goes out. Dude, I kid you not. This is the worst introduction I've ever had since then. Even before that, she gave me the driest, worst introduction ever. Place is packed though,
right?
And so she makes it known that I'm the opening act, and I'm no way affiliated with this tour,
right?
So which is cool. And dude, she even before she walks off, she literally throws a jab. You know, she's like, because you know I'm dressed like a grown man,
right?
You know. Shirt, you know, tie, slacks,
right. Vest,
you know how we do.
Yeah, right.
And so she makes the joke about me looking like Music Soul Child as she's walking off, you know, after this weak introduction. And dude, before she walks off, she hands me the mic. So, you know, I got her.
Yeah.
I did like 2 minutes on her, you know.
Right.
She had this Wendy Williams wig on and some run-over shoes. So, yeah, I gave her the business.
Now, when you took the mic and you had your 5 minutes, how'd it go?
Oh, dude, the best 5 minutes ever, man. I'll never forget it. It's the best 5 minutes of my life, dude. I actually did a tribute to my father that night, man. I talked about how crazy he was.
Yeah.
How growing up with my dad, how extreme he would be. You know, I talked about, you know, how most kids would, if they didn't make up their bed, your parents would do would make you make up your bed.
Right.
But my father, you know, you would come home from school, your bed would be just a symbol. You know?
What?
Because he was an extreme type person. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm only seven. I'm only seven. You took my bed apart. and the bad part about it, King, it wasn't a joke. It was real life.
Right.
And he would walk around with the screws in his pocket and tell me to go put my bed, fix my bed. You know, so I'm in there, man. I've made everything but a bed. I made a castle, clubhouse. I'm 7 years old, man. I'm seven. I'm not supposed to make my bed every day.
I'm sorry, man.
So that's part of my PTSD right there.
I can only imagine, man.
Can you imagine being seven? You come home, your bed is not just not made up. It's disassembled and stacked on the wall.
Get in there and make that bed, boy.
Yeah. He's walking around with all the screws in his pocket. So, you know, so I make it through the night, man. You know, just laughing about my father. You know, everybody can relate about parents. And I did my five, man. I'm walking off the stage. Crowd is on their feet, man.
Nice.
They had a good laugh.
Yeah.
And the promoter and the owner of the club, man, they literally met me coming right off the stage in the green room. And the guy, I'll never forget, he walks up, he goes, man, yo, you the real deal. You are the real deal, kid.
Yeah.
And so he goes, you know, how do I get you back? I want to bring you back. And he's like, who I got to talk to? I'm like, well, I drove here by myself.
Right.
And they're not paying me. So, yeah, I'm the guy you need to talk to.
Right.
And, you know, the rest was sort of history with that, man. 2 weeks later, I went from opening for that tour to them calling me in 2 weeks and offering me a slot. So I went on tour with them for a whole year.
Now, stop right there. Okay, we'll close that out in a minute. But I want to back up just for a few moments. Let me see how long I got. Well, I mean, this is my show, so I'll just go over a little bit. Do I get paid for going over tonight? Probably not from our sponsors, right?
Not from the sponsors. They'd be like, hey, the check has ran out.
Look, check this out, Dante. What stood out to me in this story about how you got to where you are, because, ladies and gentlemen, you just go look him up on social media. I think Dante's on Facebook and Instagram. He said he wanted to give his MySpace account.
MySpace. I'm the only, it's like five of us still up there. So come.
He rocking his MySpace. I mean, he got.
I don't know how to log out of it. So yeah, I'm still there.
I'm just telling you, but anyway, so Dante, he said something that really stood out to me. And for those of you joining us, this is Dante Holt, my friend of 22 to 23 years. We worked together in helping at-risk kids way back in our early young days, helping disadvantaged youth together. And we actually did a boot camp together for these kids. And Dante is an entertainer, business leader, mogul, and inspiration. And one thing that Dante said to me in our talk today, because usually my pre-show is about 30 minutes beforehand, but Dante and I talked for like a couple hours. One thing that he said to me was this gentleman that he had a lot of respect for, and who said, man, I see something in you, and I got some doors and some people and some spaces that I want to help you get into. That really stood out to me. What was that gentleman's name?
Gene Wagner.
Yeah, Gene. Brother Gene said, man, Dante, man, I want to be down with you, man. I want to help you out. I see what you're trying to do. I see the potential and giftings in you. And he didn't just say to Dante, hey, man, Dante, good job, buddy. Keep it up. Here's a pat on the back, kick in the rear. He said, man, I got some spaces that you don't know. And I got some places that you ain't been that I can negotiate on your behalf to get you there. I'm gonna point you in this direction. And one of the things that Dante and I talked about today, now this part is not going to be nearly as funny, but we talked about how, man, sometimes people see you out here in the grind, and they see you out here trying to make a difference, and they see the potential and the dynamics in which you're trying to get something done, and they sit back and just like, oh, he's local. He's from Eastern Carolina. We'll wait till Kevin Hart comes, and we'll buy you some tickets to Kevin Hart, Dante. The problem that I have with what Dante, my good friend, has illuminated is the problem that I've had since I've been in my business for the past 13 years. Is that I don't need someone to feed me. I don't need someone to give me a spoon. I don't need anyone to do anything for me. But I am understanding the power of leveraging and the power of collaboration and the power of connecting. And that brother, what he did for you, Dante, could possibly be credited to all the successes thereafter. Because he said, man, I'm gonna pave the way for you. Why is it, brother, that us on the East Coast, it could be on any coast, but why is it that when our spheres of influences and the crowds that are around us and see us every day making sparks, they see what we're trying to do, and there is this apathy and complacency about, well, it's just Dante, or it's just King.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna promote Dante's thing. He's got a big event going on. Well, anyway, I'll share a TikTok. Y'all listen to me now. I'm preaching to the church now. I'll share a TikTok of somebody eating Cheerios with peanut butter that adds absolutely no ounce of life to anybody. I'll share that foolishness, but I ain't gonna share my man Dante, because Dante gives to the community. He helps people at Christmas time. The brother is a giver, but man, nah, you ain't famous enough, brother. What is the problem, Dante Holt?
Well, the problem is the mindset, man, of people. You know, it's all about we tend to not want to see people move above us or ahead of us.
Go ahead.
We're always comfortable when we're sort of neck and neck, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you, I hate to say rise above, but move forward. I move forward a little bit more. I'm working towards building something. We tend to shy away from that. We're not even shy away from it, man. We just don't support it because of it's a thing that has been around for centuries, especially in our culture. If I could say that.
Go ahead.
You know, we tend to not want anybody to be more successful or have more. You know, it's the moment you transform or transcend upon something that's above where we are, and you no longer seem to be in the same struggle, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's a problem. We, you know, and you asked the difference about Gene Wagner at that time, man, he did what I call broke bread with me. Mm-hmm. He did not, he didn't talk it. In other words, I'm going to eat with you. You know what I'm saying? We both going to eat. You know, I'm going to feed you.
Right.
I got this loaf, but I'm going to break a piece off. Because see, when I feed you, there's substance.
Right.
Now, when I'm just talking, there's just words.
Right.
So by him breaking bread with me and feeding me, it sustained me to be able to have the substance that I needed to get where I am.
Right.
And he wasn't afraid to see me get there. He was comfortable enough where he was, even if it meant me surpassing him in the business.
Mm.
Because now, because guess what happens now?
Go ahead.
Because what happens, and Gina tell you, when I reached this level, I was able to break bread with Gene.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So the seed that he planted ended up growing and being able to come back and be a blessing to him and his business as well.
Wow.
So the problem, man, we're afraid to break bread, man. We don't have, and it stems from, how they divided us years ago.
Go ahead.
By giving one just a little bit more. And what that does, it causes a resentment.
Mm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And that same resentment is in our culture today. We don't praise the people in our community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny, man. You and I was talking earlier. It's almost like they tend to follow people that they know very little about.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We'll follow the celebrities. We'll follow the people on TikTok because we know very little about them.
Right.
We don't see their houses. We don't see the cars that they drive necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not going to make me feel any type of way. But now if King pulls up his S500,
mm-hmm.
and I'm driving a Toyota Camry, huh? There's a comparison.
Yes. Oh, who does he think he is?
Yeah, yeah. So we as a culture, man, we got to get out of that because what happens is we got to learn to stop talking each other heads off and learn to break bread.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to learn to break bread, man. I can't be afraid to let you eat because when you eat, you grow. And if you don't decide to reach back and give me a loaf or a slice of bread when you surpass me, it's okay.
Right.
It's still all right. Because think about it, Oprah ain't gave me no slices of bread. And I grew up watching Oprah show.
Right.
I watched it every day at 4 o'clock. Faithfully.
Right.
And I love Oprah.
Right.
But she has never reached back. I support anything that, you know, Tyler Perry, I supported those guys when he was first doing plays.
Right.
I remember Tyler Perry when he was only dressing up as Madea and showing up to our church conference.
Right.
That's how far I go back to, like, supporting what he was doing.
Mm.
And if he ever needs, ever, never, ever reaches back and gives a loaf, a slice of bread, it's okay. Because I'm eating.
Right.
You feel me? And when I see somebody else eat, it lets me know that there's bread out there.
Right.
And it is possible and it's doable.
See, and you're talking exactly right. That's in reality, brother. It like what we're doing right now is breaking bread.
Always.
You know what I'm saying? Like I look at it like this, Dante. I created this podcast because for 13 years, brother, it was me showing up and speaking, maybe impact some lives, get paid, and leave. That's fine. But I realized, man, that I get tired of hearing myself every night anyway. I said, man, let me try to grow a platform that I can find people from all different walks of life and say, hey, look, man, it won't cost you nothing. Won't ask nothing of you. I mean, I don't even require, well, I do now, but at first I didn't even require people share the show. I did all the sharing.
Yeah.
But I said, man, here, I want to create another step or another rung in the ladder that, man, if you can climb and get to a height, maybe when you get to where you're going to go, you'll remember that slice of bread that was impacting life 24/7. But I have a passion, brother, because of your story. I have a passion to see that more, in particularly, like you said, in our culture, in the African-American community, man. I have a passion to see this more than just folks saying, well, you said that people put more stock in the folks that they know very little about.
Yeah. Let me share something with you. Real quick, and I hope this helps you out. Watch this.
Go ahead.
The secret to my success, so to speak, and doing what I've done is letting people moving in a way that people know I don't need them.
Oh, go ahead.
I've moved in a way that I've reached out to a whole different. So it works in reverse.
Go ahead.
Watch this. They tend to support people they don't know. I cater to people that I don't know.
Go ahead.
Watch this. So what happens is the moment I look like I'm out of reach is when everybody comes.
Man, please say that again for the folks sleeping in the back. Say it again, Dante.
The moment I appear that I'm out of reach or I'm not as tangible, that's when everybody comes. I didn't shop this thing, man. When I kicked this thing off 2 years ago at the club, I didn't cater to people I knew. You know what I'm saying? They were the last people I reached out to. I drew in a whole new audience of people. Because let me tell you something. The support that I've gotten and the continual encouragement that I've gotten has been from people that I had never met before.
Mm.
They saw me working. They saw a man with a vision.
Mm.
They saw a man who was a man of his word. And they jumped on board with that. Now these other people knew me from the time I was knee high to a grasshopper.
Right.
So they can remember when. You understand what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
So I became something that wasn't tangible to them or accessible, excuse me, mm-hmm. to them as it was. I went out first. I did a whole tour for a whole year. I was in everywhere, Philadelphia, Connecticut, you name it. And they're watching me away. Because I'm not doing the same rooms every weekend. I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I came back. And I catered to the people in a whole different area, man. I came to Raleigh. And nobody knew me here. Nobody, you know, there are very few people who knew me here in Raleigh. And I built the platform for what I'm doing now.
Because the platform that you have now is people who are not just associates. These are people that, these are people that are like, hey man, let's go. We're going. And Dante's after it. And those are the people that are not, you created a whole entire new space for what you do.
Yeah. So a lot of times, man, that lack of support, man, sometimes, you know, can be us pulling dead weight. We there's nothing more. Yeah, I mean, we all want to see our family and loved ones and close friends and people we grew up around, people in our hometown. We all want to see them successful, you know, when we're doing something great. We want to see them be a part and come out and support it.
Right.
But a lot of times you're pulling dead weight, man. There's people out there who that you will go out and catch their eye. There are people who are in the industry. And one of my pitches to the club when I brought live entertainment was I wasn't worried about a quantity of people.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about the number of people. I wanted to cater to a different caliber and quality of people.
Mm.
That's why I pulled, I mean, some of the biggest business owners in the Triangle come to my shows. They spend big bucks. You know, I'm pulling the bottle poppers versus the guys that's walking up to the bar and asking what the special is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
they're coming to have a good time. They're coming to have a quality good time.
Right.
So now what have I done? I made this thing where it's afloat with a different quality of people.
Right.
So guess what? Now I get New Bern. Now my hometown comes. And I'm talking about like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
They come to the club wrong too, bro. They come, you know, acting up, you know. But I mean, they came, man, you know, they come to see. They
right.
come to see what was built. And they showed love. They showed love. So it's tricky, man, because it bothered me when I first got out there, especially when I was in the music industry, man. I'm like, man, I'm trying to do a good thing, man.
Right.
You know, I was doing gospel.
Right.
I'm like, man, I can't get no love doing gospel music.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I can't get no support doing this.
Right.
And, man, my people won't do this. My people won't come out. But when I changed, man, because think about it. It's like fishing out of a pond when there's a whole ocean out there.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why would you settle for fishing out of the pond?
So then to our listeners, what we need to say is don't be frustrated by the lack of quote unquote support that you are not getting, because there's a whole population of people that want what you're doing. And it's important that people understand how to get in the right space with the right people.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
Yeah. I shift my focus from trying to draw people, and I shift my focus on to building something that people will love.
Right.
You know, that people would talk about, people would actually have a good time. So my focus was the people, man. And they came. They came, dude. You know, people thought I was crazy. People like, man, they got Charlie Goodnights down the street.
Right.
They got improv in Cary.
Right.
You gonna put comedy on downtown Glenwood. And you know, I was telling a story earlier, man. I was like, heck yeah. You know, Pizza Hut. You know, we got Pizza Hut everywhere.
Pizza Hut.
We got Domino's everywhere.
Domino's.
We got what's the other one? Papa John's.
Papa John's.
Everywhere. Everywhere. But this guy goes, you know what? I'm going to put $5 pizzas out there on the market. Huh? In the midst of all this pizza.
Right.
We know it's Little Caesars.
Right.
He didn't give a darn about Pizza Hut, Domino's, and Papa John's.
No.
He just put his pizza out there, man.
And what's Little Caesars like on Friday night?
Let me tell you something. Have you been to Little Caesars on a Friday night? Hey, dude, I didn't even eat Little Caesars like that, man. To the kids, you know, they're like, you know, they love it. So I'm like, yo, I go to pick up pizza.
Right.
Nobody warned me. I've never been to a Little Caesars before in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody warned me. Dude, I pull up, and let me tell you something. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
Mexicans, blacks, Chinese, whites. I'm telling you, they were there, bro.
Right.
And there was a line. There was a line at Little Caesars.
But you don't see no line at Domino's.
I've never seen a line at Domino's. Never. Ever. Pizza Hut or Papa John's. You walk right in there, grab your pizza, walk out.
Right.
But, you know, but my point being, after a month or so talking with the GMs at the club, a month later, there was a line coming out of Solis. There was a line coming out of the club.
See?
Right in the middle of Charlie Goodnight's and Improv. So at the end of the day, you know, like I tell them, man, my whole theory is, you know, everybody don't like the crust at Pizza Hut.
Right.
Everybody don't like the sauce at Domino's. So my thing is, you know, I work on trying to make a better crust. I make things a little more saucy. Then somebody's going to like it. And so we put it right there in the middle, man, and we hit a home run, bro. We had a line going down Glenwood Avenue. I don't take all the credit for that, man. I've been blessed with some great support, with a great team. And we eat. Everybody eats, man. From the person that works the door. Let me tell you something, bro. My work ethic is unmatched when it comes to that. But the way I seen other people pick up, the security guys were selling tickets. You know what I'm saying? Guys,
right.
The person that worked the door was selling tickets. Bartenders were selling tickets, man, because they believed in it.
It's a buy-in.
They ate good. You know, it was a buy-in. You know, they were pushing it because, again, the quality of people were coming in and spending good money, tipping well. No rowdy crowds. People were comfortable.
So ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, Dante, but ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that tonight was not a scheduled night for Impact on Life 24/7. Usually our show is Monday night at 8:30, Tuesday night at 8:30, and Thursday. But we worked it out with Dante. He couldn't be at those times, and so it was great. Wow. I said I will flex and I will get you here, brother. I want to thank you, Dante. I want to thank you, Dante, because we covered 22 years in just a little over an hour. But there is something about friendship, man. And I want you to know this. I'm gonna say it publicly. Anything that I can do. Now, you know, some people say that, and when you call them, their phone go to voicemail.
Go to voicemail, man. I thought it was just me. Anything you need, I'm like, hey, let me call him.
Except money, food, a place.
The number you have called is not taking phone calls, only from you.
Right. But on this show, Impact Life 24/7, man, I don't care if it becomes internationally syndicated, which is what my goal is. I don't care I don't care if I got Steve Harvey as a guest that I'm interviewing him. I don't care what the status of this show ever becomes. I want you to know, brother, that anytime, day or night, you got a place, man. If this is an open forum for you, brother. And even if you want to come one night and just do comedy, I don't care. We
can do that.
Yeah, this is mad love, man. I appreciate you, Dante.
Likewise, man. Same here, bro.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and honestly, man, this definitely won't be the last time. My mind is already turning.
Yes, sir. Mine too.
I don't believe in coincidences or happenstance, dude. Right. I think the timing couldn't have been any better.
Right.
We got some crazy things that's about to happen with Big Five Entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a plug real quick.
Go ahead, brother. That's what I want.
those of you who are watching tonight, man, if you would, just follow me on IG. It's Big Five Entertainment, Big Five ENT. You should see my face, couple of photos. I'm also, you can follow me on Dante Holt on Facebook or Big Five Entertainment there also. In the next month, we'll be dropping the sitcom for Terry and Melissa. We just sort of crossed over. This pandemic, man, has been a blessing in disguise.
Okay.
Because what it caused me to do is to, and I tell people all the time, you can't be afraid to do that, man, is reinvent yourself.
Right.
And so I took a little bit of time. I have not done any stand-up. I don't think I've done any stand-up since March.
Mm.
That's the honest to God's truth. And I've had people call. I got a call the other day. And that's just me trying to be responsible.
Right.
With the people, man. I couldn't dare go pack out a room and hear a week later that people got COVID and
right.
all that stuff, man. I'm just, I tell everybody, do what you will. I do as you please. I just choose not to.
Right. That's
smart. Free to do so. But I always say with freedom comes responsibility.
That's right.
And I'm just trying to be responsible. But at the end of the day.
So you got a sitcom? Is that what's happening?
Terry and Melissa. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, Terry Melissa Entertainment. They are a sensational internet couple, man, who's doing comedy. They traveled the whole world. They made a huge name for themselves. Over 3 million followers.
Oh, wow.
In social media. Yeah. Great people, down to earth. We'd love to get them on the CL King podcast.
That's not a problem, brother.
And see what we can work out there. But yes, man, we crossed over into film and production a little earlier during the year, and it's working out great. We got some awesome writers, man. We got some awesome stuff coming. We'll have our own platform. The sitcom is probably the kickoff or the big send off of the platform, but we're also looking for some podcast. We have a couple people who are looking at podcasts to put on the channel, health and wellness, sports. We covering all, dude. We're going to be the next little BET. We're going to be little BET.
Well, listen, Dante.
We're going to be lowercase BET.
When you get to be lowercase BET, just don't forget your homeboy CLK. Okay, man, brother? Don't forget me now.
Let me see you something, bro. Listen, hey, I tell everybody, man, this whole thing is a train.
Right.
It's a train, bro. There's plenty of seats, man. We're going to do some great things this year. 2020, I heard a lot of people go, man, 2020 has been terrible. You know, this, that, and the third. And it has, I've seen a lot of things happen, a lot of transitions, a lot of people gone. But I tell everybody, 2020 has come to see what you're made out of.
That's right, brother. It surely did manifest what our metal is. Now, Dante, the music's playing, brother. So the sponsors say when the music starts playing, they don't pay no more. So.
They don't pay no more. So I'm gone.
Dante, man. Dante Hope, Big Five Entertainment. That's what it's called, right? Big Five Entertainment.
Big Five Entertainment.
Listen, this is my friend. This is my brother. Man, when he comes down, he said he's going to buy me a steak. And but he said it's gonna be a steak taco.
I know a wonderful taco truck there right there in Onslow County.
Man, I ain't need no taco. You buy me a steak, boy. Listen.
It's like steak.
Oh, it's like steak. Mechanically separated chicken parts, right? Dante Hope, Big Five Entertainment, my brother from another mother, great man, a mogul of moguls. And, you know, I know some people think, well, man, here's what I can say. I'm blessed to have had him on this show tonight because, though I can't reach him no more because he doing his thing.
Anytime, man. You got my number now, bro.
I know, brother. But let me finish the last part. Though he is a few miles away up the street, man, it's like we just picked up from where we left off in 1998. Me and his brother been friends since 1998. And it's like, you know, we've been doing our thing in different swim lanes. But, man, when we talked on the phone, it was like just like we left 1998, man. So, Dante, I love you, man. And listen,
love you too, bro.
All y'all folks out there, go check out Big Five Entertainment. Go follow my man, Dante. He's on Instagram. He's also on Facebook. And he is rocking it there in Raleigh. He's also on MySpace with his five followers. Probably got a flip phone. So anyway, Dante, listen, I love you, man. And we will schedule another show and a couple shows in 2020. We'll mix it up. Okay, brother?
Absolutely, bro.
All right. Have a good night.
You too, man. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. This is a special Wednesday edition of Impacting Life 24/7. And such a blessing to have Dante Holt, a reunion of sorts. We did so many great things together, hanging with that young man. We both the same age now, so we both older. But he does a lot of stuff, a lot of good in his community. And his Big Five Entertainment is the dude is just literally funny, and he don't even try. He just naturally funny, and a great man, got a big heart, and it was a blessing to have him. So we wanted to share it, man. The haters is just fairies. It's just a fairy tale, man. Don't be focusing and letting yourself get all emotionally attached to people that can't make a hill of beans about what you're doing. Continue to push forward. Continue to grind. Continue to go forward. Continue to have your vision. And don't stop. Mr. VP, we got somebody tomorrow night. I think it's the Sergeant Major. We're going to have a Sergeant Major on the show tomorrow night. Marine Corps Sergeant Major. I am so excited about that because I'm going to be standing tall with the Sergeant Major on there. And then we will close out. I think I might have one more show left, Greg. I think we have a lady that was not on the calendar, but she's on a new calendar. I think we got her on the 22nd next week. And then that'll be it. That'll be it for us for the rest of the year. And you actually will not see Impacting Life 24/7 until February 2021 because January, we're going to be setting up some new platforms in terms of sponsorship. We want to give everybody an opportunity to get connected with us that wants to be connected with us in January. So we'll have some great information. You'll hear all about it. And so we wanted to take time off from having guests and running the show because it is a lot on Greg and I to find people, to vet them and all that kind of stuff, and then put the show together. It's a lot of work to put together a quality podcast. Like even with Dante, this was still, that's my friend. We just talking off the cuff, but he understood that, man, people want content. They want to be entertained. And a podcast is kind of a hybrid of that. It's a portion of entertainment as well as we deliver content. And on this show, we are bringing people on here who have made an impact. And I hope they make an impact on you. So how can you subscribe? It's very, very simple. I would just say go to clkingspeaker.com, click on the podcast link and subscribe. We'd love to have you subscribe. Love to have you rate the show. Tell us what you think. And appreciate the comments out there that we've seen tonight. So we're going to, Greg, it's going to be definitely a good break. But it won't be a break because we'll be working behind the scenes, grinding. You're going to be on the computer with me, Greg. Greg, man, the old school gunny, man. He liked to have a piece of paper and a notepad and a pencil. But Greg and I really have a heartbeat for what we're doing. When we did that bullying summit, Greg, remember we did that bullying summit in 2012? It was just me and him, man. It was me and him going door to door, handing out flyers and street signs. It was me and Gray. And we brought over 300 people from all across our state to host the first ever state bullying conference. That man is a workaholic. He just don't like computers. But we are adding some new opportunities and new levels of sponsorship, because we got some things that we want to do, and we're flexible, man. We can do it in person. We can do it virtually. And so we're going to need your help to help us to continue to expand that reach that we have. So thank you so much for tuning into Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. What a great show with Dante Holt from Big Five Entertainment, business mogul extraordinaire, and my good friend. Tune in tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. right here for Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. We'll talk to you later. Have a great night.